Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
I said to you earlier on, we're going to pay tribute to a giant who has fallen a couple of days ago in his beloved Garankuwa. This is someone who was a scholar, someone who was an activist, a doctor, an author, and many, many, many other things. And we are going to be speaking to a family representative, his brother, and just to, again, wish to pass our condolences to the family and to those who were close to him. Dr. Khumulemo Mogae, who was laid to rest today. I am on the line with Johnny Mogae, his brother, just to give us some time to pay tribute to this giant. A very good evening, Dr. Mogae. Thank you so much for your time.
Good evening, and how are you?
We are well. We are more concerned about how the family is at the moment. Today must have been a tough day. Was it mixed emotions, rather?
Definitely mixed emotions. Still reeling from the devastation caused by this incident. But then again, we had some humbling and comforting experience through the support of all the people that came to pay their respects.
As I was saying earlier, you know, we remember him as a giant, as an activist, as someone who had been politically very active, a doctor, an author. As a family member, as a brother, how do you reflect upon your brother's life?
To me, he was a simple person, a likable brother, a loving brother, and I'm with his son as we speak, a loving father. Somebody that found happiness, found pleasure in helping others, in doing good for others. Somebody that was selfless. He would rather deprive himself than see the next person suffer.
We are told that to the very end, this was someone who was very connected to his community. Someone who, you know, to the very end was involved, was concerned, was active within his community.
It definitely was. I'll give you an example. There were times when we'd actually get to buy groceries for him.
Yes.
And before you knew it, there would be people at our house.
He's giving it away.
Giving it away. exactly. And my elder brother,
yes,
who is based in the northwest,
yes,
bought new kittens,
yes,
for the house,
yes,
the entire house.
Yes.
And then he just took them to an orphanage. Then he was left with no kittens. And we were just wondering, what kind of man is this now?
It couldn't have been a surprise, because from early on, you know, this was someone who was giving, free treatment to patients at some point. So it couldn't have been a surprise.
It wasn't that surprise, but, we were concerned about his well-being. That was a time when he actually needed support. And we thought that would do. But Homolemo being Homolemo, he kept himself and just did what Homolemo would do.
How did he reflect?
He didn't want to see the next person suffer.
Yes. In recent times, how did he reflect on the state of this nation?
The state of?
This country.
Him?
Yes. How did he reflect on where we are right now?
In his view, we have not actually achieved liberation. We are still colonized. We have not actually realized any of the dreams that many died for, that many were imprisoned for. So it was not yet Uhuru in his view.
You say that you are with his son. We are unfortunately told of a really untimely death in a sense because of the manner in which he died. How is the community reflecting on the passing?
The community is angry, irritated at the fact that lawlessness seems to be the key thing today. And also it reveals that people are not safe in their own spaces. And unfortunately the reality is many of people find themselves living on their own. Either it will be an elderly couple in a foreign house, or it will be an old granny with two or three little toddlers in the house to take care of. And they feel exposed. That there is no protection for them.
I want to take you to early days, in his activism days, and the reasons why he decided he needed to join a political movement. He needed to be part of the struggle. Talk to me about that.
Yes. Look, it started at very, very early stages of his life. I think he was, I'm not too sure what this would be today, but he was being around stage four those years. I don't know what stage four is today. What grade? What, is that grade six? Or
I think it's grade six.
Yeah. Yeah. We lived in Hombat around that time.
Yes.
Because the old man was a priest and would be all over the place.
Yes.
Now, directly opposite the mission house, there was this auntie who was selling traditional sorghum beer or whatever beer they call it.
Yeah.
And the old timers would go there and break a leg, you know what I mean?
Yes.
There was this particular one who would always, after a glass or two, would stand up and then, you know, next to the front and shout or scream, "Scandal!" So that sort of excited him. He wanted to know what scandal I meant. But basically the old man was referring to scandals that were happening at the time. And the homo took a keen interest in that and started researching, turning our father's library upside down, inside out, reading anything that he could come across. And that's how his consciousness politically came about.
It was the beginning, so as you said, very early on. And
very,
that was
early on.
At any point he could have stopped, but that was not the case.
No, that was not the case. And the system of government in the country during its formative years also did not help, if you like. You know, this homeland system and stuff. That also challenged his mind. He was a very, very serious person. He would actually want to understand why things were happening the manner that they were happening. He had an inquiring mind. That, unfortunately, in our situation would actually lead you directly into politics. It's like it brings politics to you rather than you going into politics.
A lot of what he did was, as you said, selfless. He joked around to say, you know, medicine was his wife and the writing was his mistress. The love of writing for him, where did that come from?
From our father. He wasn't a writer, but he was a keen reader. You could tell that from his sermons. He was very, very general in terms of approach, in terms of knowledge.
Yes.
And he would actually, you know, in ministry, they would tell you about application and all those things.
Yes.
You would take the theology as it is preached, as it's written,
mm-hmm.
but then you need to interpret and apply it to the actual general conditions and circumstances facing people,
mm-hmm.
rather than telling them about heaven on earth.
Yes.
When you don't even know where the actual heaven is.
you speak of the fact that your father was a priest. Khumulal himself had an interesting relationship with the church, did he not?
Look, he was quite religious.
Yes.
Yeah, he wouldn't climb on top of the mountain or roof of a house to say, I'm a Christian or something like that.
Mm.
But he was very, very religious.
Mm.
Case in point is recently we had a discussion when he bought our house, because we lived in mission houses. I don't know if you know, in the townships they used to call us church mice, you know. In Africa, they would say, Asaramasakarik mice.
Mm, mm.
Because priests are not really well rewarded.
Yes.
So the priest's kids were seen as poor mice, sort of.
Mm.
Now, that kind of created the dream. So we lived in mission houses for the better part of our upbringing.
Mm.
When our parents eventually bought a house that we could call our home,
mm-hmm.
It had a tree in front, a big tree in front.
Mm.
We found there, and then myself and my elder brother were of the view that we should take it out. But the parents said, no. We'll be having our tea underneath the tree when we retire from ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So we left it there. It collapsed, I think, Maru said, about a week or so ago.
Wow.
And beyond belief, Khumulam was calling everybody that cared to listen.
Yes.
To tell them how miraculous nature was. How mysterious God's deeds were. The tree fell, but it did not hurt him. It did not damage the house. It did not damage the fence. And because of that, he called the neighbor who came for our house and asked him to pray with him.
Mm.
Guess what they were praying for?
Mm-mm.
They were praying for that tree. I don't know for the welding of the tree or what, but they prayed for the tree anyway. And thereafter, he said to the guy, thank you for letting me pray with you.
Wow.
To this day, we don't know why he prayed for the tree.
Wow.
And then he called my brother and said to us, yeah, the tree has fallen. We are going to use it for wood to make fire. And we are using that wood yesterday and today.
And this happened a week ago.
Yes.
I don't know.
He was something else.
Yeah, that is quite some story. We
he was. He had his own special relationship with his God, and that was the case. That was him. It was homo.
We wish you healing, and we really appreciate you sharing that story with us. And thank you so much for making time for us this evening. I know today must have been a long day for you. Our regards to the
family. It was very, very long indeed.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you very, very
much.
No,
we appreciate all the support from all over. The Haranga community was united in spirit.
Mm.
The block in which our house is situated was wonderful. So, and there were some people that came, different families, coming to offer the assistance of their coach. So everything went well, and we appreciate it a lot.
Just a quick one. Anybody arrested yet for this murder?
No. Actually, I had an update from the police yesterday. No arrest yet.
Mm.
The investigation is still ongoing.
Appreciate your time again.
We wouldn't tell that this will be resolved as soon as possible.
Condolences again, and thank you so much for making time for us this evening.
Much appreciated. Thank you very much.
Jono Mokae is Khumulo Mokae's brother, and they laid him to rest today as he passed away at age 9. Is it 63? Yes, at age 63.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.